are going to dig into God's word in just a moment. I just ask you guys to take out your Bibles if you can. We're going to share a lot on the screen for you as well to help you with this. And I'm just excited about this series, and it challenges me too. We all need to be practicing the spiritual disciplines. We're going to kind of define what those are. We're going to look at the core ones this morning. But before we begin, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for the day. I want to just pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts as we look at your word this morning. Lord, I ask that you would just really challenge us and change us and help us, Lord, to be new creatures, Lord, and to be developing, Lord, in our newness, Lord, in our fruit. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bring to our attention, Lord, the issues, Lord, the things that we struggle with and wrestle with, even in this area, Lord, of our own growth and the part that we have in it. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts now. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I appreciate you guys. And I just want to thank, by the way, before we start today, our team who are just doing an incredible job of making all this work. And thankfully, we have some experience in the past year doing this, but I'm just so thankful for Cindy and our young people, Dio right now today, you know, helping us from college, Dan helping us from college. And we're just thankful for what God's doing in and through us. I want to share with you one other prayer request. I want to pray for Hobie Wainwright today. Hobie has pneumonia. He is improving, and he is up with his daughter, Kathy, of Pennsylvania, but we want to just lift him up in prayer this morning as well. I didn't mention them earlier. So we're going to slide right on down. This is our series, Running Well and Finishing Strong. And I know we're in a long, enduring race right now with this virus and everything else that goes with it. And we certainly need that strength for the journey. So I want to move down right away to our next slide. And the title of the message this morning that we want to look at is this area of focusing on these core disciplines, these practices that are going to strengthen us. And these practices in particular are ones that every Christian needs to be engaged with day in and day out. And we struggle with it because we all wrestle with time and attention and focus. And sometimes we're just overwhelmed by the things that are going on, but we're going to talk about that today. So we don't want to, this is not to bring you down, but to hopefully help us to kind of be reminded of how important this is and come up with some strategies that are going to make this work. So I want to slide right on down to our eternal truth this morning that I want to share with you guys. And the first thing I want to say about this is eternal truth is it's sort of an overarching eternal truth for our series, but greater engagement with God results in greater spiritual fitness. And I want to throw this out. God made us for fellowship, and we are created to fellowship with him. He wants us to fellowship with him. He wants us to be involved with him day in and day out, moment by moment. You know, he wants to be on our mind. He wants to be there for us. And that's something that we know. And the challenge for us is, in the midst of the chaos of our days, is to make that happen. And just kind of interpreting that into some practical things, implementing the core disciplines of engaging with scripture. We're going to talk about that. I'll give you a little acronym that it might help you to think about how you can do that. Practicing prayer. And I know that's one of the challenging things for us to then pray, you know, for all the needs. Even the needs are overwhelming when we look at our prayer list. And participating in corporate worship, by the way, even in this case, in a remote sense. But I praise God that there's 61 of our families that said, you know what, we're going to take that time out Sunday morning, even though we're not at the building, and we're going to get together as the body of Christ. And these are key foundations to stimulate my spiritual growth and your spiritual growth. And I want to focus on this point, though such a big thing is, these things, they intentionally, regularly, and powerfully orient me toward God. And I just want you to understand, I think the rest of our lives kind of orient us many times away from God, to our problems, to our struggles, to all the other things that are just screaming for our attention. And you may have heard there was a book written years ago, it was called The Tyranny of the Urgent. In other words, what we all do is, you know, whoever's screaming the loudest, that's what we go deal with and go fix. And that's another way people describe that is they call that a firefighting mentality. And by all means, if something's on fire in your house, even during the message, go put it out. But we need to not live our lives constantly firefighting or constantly just dealing with the urgent things. or we'll never accomplish and be who God wants us to be in the things that matter for eternity. And I think we all know that, but I'll throw this out to you. I wish I could see all your faces right now. Doesn't it feel like life is constantly screaming and demanding our attention and our problem solving and our fixes? And I don't know about you, but my mentality is to kind of be the repairman. And it's too much. I can't do it all. And you can't do it all either. So we're going to kind of talk about that today and kind of get some intentional things in place to get us ready for what God wants us to do. So we're going to slide down to the first point. And the first thing is I want to define this idea of spiritual disciplines. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on this, but there's a lot made about this. I read just countless things this week about this issue of spiritual disciplines. And the one thing I want us to remind us of, and I said it last week, is these things are the means to the end, which is spiritual growth and a deepening relationship with God. These things are not the end. So being in church is a great thing. It's not the end goal. You know, praying is a great thing. It's not the end goal. Reading scripture is a great thing. It's not the end goal. The end goal is that we are deepening our walk with God and God is strengthening us for the journey of life. So I want to talk about these things. I just laid them out in four ways. The scriptures, by the way, are great. We won't look at them all. But first thing I want to talk about is this idea. These disciplines are spiritual. And in our world, people like the word religious, people kind of frown at that term. It kind of has lost its goodness. I use that phrase in our culture. But people like to be spiritual. And they're on this hunt to be spiritual and to find God. And I want to define for a second today, and I'll come down to it in a minute, just what it means to be truly spiritual based on scripture, not just, you know, in this sort of aimless or unbridled hunt for God and spirituality. The second thing I want to talk about is what is God's work in our spiritual growth? And you guys are familiar with that. We're going to kind of just drive that home. What's my piece of the puzzle? Because it's a partnership. And it's not about, you know, me being self-sufficient and disciplining myself to do what I want or get things done, but it's about me aligning myself with God and finding my sufficiency in Christ and plugging into that source of sufficiency. And then the fourth thing there is the role of disciplines and practices. You know, there's a goal, there's a role here in these practices and these disciplines, and they're to really connect us to God, who is the source of power. You know, it's not just us trying harder and making a New Year's resolution. And you guys can share with me, put it into the chat if you want to even this morning. How many folks made a New Year's resolution? You don't have to say what it is, but maybe chat it out. You know, give us a thumbs up. You know, you can give us a little hand on your screen to make a New Year's resolution this year. Some people, their resolution was, I'm not going to make any more New Year's resolutions, right? You know, we struggle with those things, but there's a point to getting this going on in our lives as practices. So I want to slide down to the first thing. I want to quickly just define what it means to be spiritual, and Dow can help us with that. And there's a number of verses. We're going to focus here on John chapter 3, verses 5-7. But what does it mean to be truly spiritual? You know, spiritual isn't just, you know, sitting on a mountaintop and, you know, in a robe and looking up at heaven. You know, it's not about our chanting. It's not about and by the way, I, in my search, I did some work on the internet. I Googled some of these spiritual practices. By the way, overall, we're going to talk about some other ones, personal spiritual practices next week. That'll be followed by some relational spiritual practices that we do in the context of others at church or in small groups or even in our families. But kind of the people like that write about Christianity kind of come up with like 12 of them. I found them online and someone wrote there were 65 spiritual disciplines. And this man came from more of an Eastern view of religion and he had all kinds of things in there. But I guess the challenge I question with you guys, what does it mean to be truly spiritual? And Jesus answered that question when he dealt with Nicodemus, right? Jesus answered him. You remember Nicodemus came to the Lord and Jesus explained him this idea of being born again, and he was just confused, and he was a spiritual leader, and we are sometimes too. Like, we look at spirituality with awe, but the basis of our spirituality is being born again. You know, and Jesus said this, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I love this verse, right? You know this one too. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. They're two different things. So the basis of what we're talking about, being spiritual and spiritual disciplines, have to be based on the finished work of Christ and the work where we are born again by faith in Jesus Christ. God puts his spirit in us, and all that changes in us spiritually is a result of the work of the spirit and the work of his word in us. And John 3 says that. 1 Corinthians 2 kind of gives us that as well, you know, where we compare spiritual things with spiritual in our hearts. The spirit does that. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we understand that this work that's being done is not just us disciplining ourselves to be godly, but God changes us and saves us. In Galatians 5, and you guys know the passage so well, the fruit of the Spirit passage is, but the fruit of the Spirit is. You know, it's not the fruit of our work, but the fruit of the Spirit's work in us. So I want to just slide down. Truly spiritual has to be based on our relationship with God. There's no other way to do it. And I want to just share with you, so what is the work of the Spirit? What are we trying to discipline ourselves to do? What's that all about? What's God trying to do in us? And Romans 8, just a passage that we cling to so much, especially 8:28, where we know all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. But notice in 29, he says this. He says, this is what God is trying to do, and he's taking good things and bad things and every other thing in between on that spectrum of life to turn us into a little Christ. You know, the name Christian has that idea of little Christ. He says, for him whom he foreknew, and God, by the way, knew that we were going to trust him. God chose us. He knew what we were going to be, and he chose us anyway. But it says, he also predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I just stop for a second with you guys. I wonder how my image and your image compares to Jesus. Think about that this week. When you went to work this week, or you dealt into things in your family, in your home, did people see you as a little Christ, or did they see you as something else? And that's kind of the challenge. But he wants us to be like Jesus in our humility. Be like Jesus in our love, be like Jesus in our compassion, be like Jesus in our peace, be like Jesus in our sacrifice. Did the world see you as a little Christ? That's what God is trying to do. And I want to say this, by the way, you know, Jesus, he commanded in the scriptures a whole lot of things, but he really commanded us to pay attention to how we lived our lives more than anything else. One commentary I looked at said, Jesus never commanded us to study scripture, but he commanded us to live like him over and over and over. You know, and we'll look at there's some passages that Paul wrote, and Jesus certainly implied that we need to be about the scriptures, and we'll look at that more in a second, but he really focuses on being conformed to his image. And by the way, notice the work was done by God. Look at verse 30. It says, moreover, he whom he predestined, these he also called. God chose us. He called us. These he called, he also justified. He declared us righteous. And those he justified, he also glorified. So the work is the work of the Spirit to save us and then conform us to Jesus Christ. That's what God is trying to do. And that's what we need to try to do. And I'll tell you about you guys. It's sure a struggle sometimes, isn't it? A lot of times I'm not a little Christ. You know, I'm a big Gary. And the world doesn't want to see big Gary. They want to see little Jesus. And there's quite a difference in those two things, isn't there? Philippians 1:6 gives us hope, though. Philippians 1:6 says, you know what? That he's going to complete the work that he's begun in us. So we can praise God, and we're his children. God's working. Sometimes it's a hard job, but God is working in us and through us day by day. We're going to move down to the next point. Here's the key thing we want you guys to get a hold of, right? And he says this, there's a part, and we mentioned this last time, in this process of spiritual growth, and it takes us to be part of that picture. It takes us to yield to the work of the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to work in us. And it takes us to learn scripture, to learn what God says, to know what it is. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But notice what he says. He says, my work of spiritual growth, it's not a work of self-sufficiency, but sufficiency in Christ. But I am trying to put myself in situations and places where the Spirit of God can speak to me and work on me. And by the way, we'll talk about one of these things next week, but I'll just share for a second. How many of us in our lives have a time of solitude? Another author wrote, not only solitude, but silence. Think about that. You know, our lives are just, we're running fast. It's noisy. It's distracting. We're distracted. We're all over the place. It's hard for God to work in us if our hands are always busy, our minds are always on something else, and our mouths are always talking. And that's an issue here. So God wants us to put ourselves in a place where he can speak to us. And that's a real struggle. And it just says, I read this passage from 1 Timothy 4, and Jim read it so well for us this morning. You know, in the context of the world getting worse, here's how the Christian gets better. And it just says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Christ. And this is Paul talking to Timothy and talking to all of us who follow him as teachers of God's word. And by the way, not just pastors, but many of you teach God's word in all kinds of contexts. You know, we began, Stuart and Eunice took care of Junior Church and Kids Corner this morning, our youth ministry, all the things that we do, we're always teaching others, you know, about the word of God. And look what he says. I love this phrase, by the way. This is where God wants us to be, nourished in the words of faith and good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. And I hope that's true of us, that as teachers, and all of us, by the way, even moms and dads, God's called us to be the primary teachers of spiritual things. Are we nourished in the words of faith and good doctrine? You know, are we kind of like on a malnutrition of spiritual understanding? And look what he says, but reject profane and old wives' fables. And I'll throw this out. A lot of times you hear Christians talking about things and they'll think they're in the scriptures. Like, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. Is that really there? And the answer is no. There's a whole bunch of other little acronyms that may be true and good, but they're not really biblical. But look what he says. He says, and I love this phrase. He says, exercise yourself toward godliness. That's our job. And the word there is, it's a Greek word. It's the word, I'll get the word for you in just a second, but the word has the idea about suffering. It's ex agonizo is the word, and has this idea of agony that's in there. We're suffering, we're struggling, you know, toward moving ourselves and our flesh to be godly. We're trying to put ourselves in a situation where God can change us. And we have to kind of fight to do that. And I don't know about you guys, and if you all look up, I'd see your eyes today. You know, isn't it a fight sometimes to find a moment of quiet? Isn't it a fight to open up your scripture and read it? Isn't it a fight to find a quiet place to pray? You know, in the craziness and the chaoticness of life, it's just hard. And that many people have said this to me. They said, boy, the pandemic has given me a chance to be less busy and to really just relax and read the Bible and whatnot. For a lot of people, their jobs have gone the other way. They're just feeling the stress from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to bed of all the things that have to be done now because of the pandemic. And that's true for our educators and our medical people. And so many others are just trying to figure out how to do life. And it's just an endless quest to do that. And we feel that at church a lot too. We're doing things we never thought. And it's just more challenging. It takes a lot more to do things. And I love what he says. He says, for bodily exercise profits a little. And the idea, by the way, don't take this wrong. People say, well, I don't need to do exercise, do any of those things. The idea is bodily exercise profits for a little while. While you're on earth in your body, take care of it, exercise it. And it's going to be stronger. It's going to be more fit. It'll be better to do even the things that God wants you to do. But he says, but real godliness that comes from disciplining myself or exercising myself toward that, it is an eternal thing. It's going to last forever. And that's what he says. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance. But to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach. And I'm going to throw out to you, growing the way God wants us to grow is going to take some labor and it's going to take some suffering and some people are going to look at you funny sometimes, but it's worth it. This is what God wants us to do. And by the way, this is where we're going to find our greatest satisfaction. There's an author said this, is that, you know, our greatest satisfaction really is in Christ. And God is the most satisfied when we're the most satisfied in him. And that's the words of John Piper. He said that. So I want to encourage you to think about those things. And a couple other scriptures that are there. It says 1 Corinthians 9, we looked at that last week, that idea about, you know, we discipline ourselves, that, you know, we don't want to be a castaway at the end of the day. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, you know, that's the Awana verse, right? Studying or doing really everything we can to show ourselves approved unto God. That's what God wants us to do. And that's what these spiritual disciplines are all about. And that's what makes them spiritual. We want to slide down real quick, Dial, if you will. So the next verse, the role of these practices. And I want to throw this out. The role of these practices are real important, right? The role of these practices are connect us to the power so that we can really change. We're not just trying harder. We're not just gritting our teeth and making resolutions that we can't keep. And I love what Jesus said. And by the way, this passage is just so full of thoughts that drive us as believers. Remember Jesus said this? And because I want to say this, let me take one step back. This message today is not to burden you and say, I know you're already busy. I know you're already freaking out. You need to be doing these things or something's wrong with you. God knows this is a struggle and he wants us to come to him this way. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he wrote this passage to people that were trying to please God by keeping the law, by doing stuff. And the point I want to say to you today, is God's not trying to say to you today, you know, you got to do all these things and then you'll get it right. He's saying these things are going to get you close to me and I'm going to work in you like crazy when you put that bit of effort out to make that happen. And it's going to be worth it. And you're going to see God really bless your life when you do. And I love what Jesus says here. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, and check this out, I'm looking for this, rest for your souls. And look what he says, look what Jesus says. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of working and trying to achieve everything on my own without God is really heavy. But when I work and I put myself in a place where God can work in and through me, I'm going to find that the burden is lighter. Still going to be burdens, but God's going to give me that strength to get through. And we all know John 15, right? It says, Jesus said this, right? I got to plug into him. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I don't know about you. I felt so many times like I'm doing all this stuff and nothing is happening. Nothing is changing. And that's because I need God to make those changes that are lasting in me, in others, in our church, in everything. And that's kind of the key thing. So the role of these spiritual disciplines, they're spiritual because they're based in our abiding relationship with the one who saved us, Jesus Christ. And they're disciplines where we partner with God and we put ourselves in a place where God and his word can change us. And we're communicating through prayer. We're together in corporate worship to encourage and lift each other up. That's where God wants us to be at. So we're going to slide down to the next point, which, by the way, is our main point, second point, practicing these core spiritual disciplines. So how's that work, right? And, you know, I'm going to throw out to you guys just a quick overview outline. And let's give it a second to get on the screen and develop. There it is, right? So the point, right? The universe of spiritual disciplines, right? And the point, right, is connecting God's power, the presence and practices that develop better habits to promote spiritual growth and change. And I want to just stop there and I would say, think about the issues here, right? Think about the issues. I know you're going, I don't have any more time. I'm already stressed out. You know, I'm worried about this. I can't do anything else. And trust me, I feel the same way you do. So there's this sort of universe of spiritual disciplines. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Maybe like 12 or so is what kind of generally, you know, Christian educators come up with. We're going to focus though right today on what are the three. What are the three things that are part and parcel of what every believer's got to be doing, right? And the first one is engaging with scripture. And kind of get this in your mind real fast, right? what are the components of that? Here they are: reading, studying, meditating, memorizing, sharing. RSMSS. Those are kind of the things, right? That's engaging with scripture. Sometimes I'm reading it and just like listening to God and God speaking to me. Sometimes I'm studying it and saying, God, what is it exactly that you're saying? How do I apply this? How do I make that work? What's the context of this? How does that really play out? Sometimes I'm meditating on scripture. Scripture's like Psalm 46. And I'm saying, man, be still and know that I'm God. And I need to hear that when life's falling apart. Sometimes I'm memorizing scripture. I'm trying to give that the Holy Spirit ammunition to help me and to draw those things back when I need it. And sometimes I'm sharing scripture with others and saying, look what God said. Boy, that just lifts up my heart. That's just an encouraging thing. Or, man, that really convicts me. I'm really a mess in that area. So this idea of engaging scripture, practicing prayer. And by the way, prayer is supposed to be something that's constant, personal, collective, and universal about everything we deal with. We'll look at that in a minute. And then participating in corporate worship. And again, here's the focus today: humbling myself, praising God, coming, giving something to others, receiving from others, and being as a body built up together. Those are the core disciplines. So I just want to stop for a second, give you a second to think. I'll take a deep breath too. What are, as you stop and think about these things, which ones are you doing, you think, pretty good? Which ones are a bit of a struggle? Think about that just for a second this morning. How's your day going with engaging scripture, prayer life, participating in corporate worship? Are you having any issues? Which ones are the ones that are really tough? So we'll skip on down. Dow, take us down. First thing I want to look at today in this idea of engaging with scripture, these are the core disciplines, right? Just notice for a second what the Lord says about scripture and about the prosperity of a life that is just immersed in scripture. And I want to throw out to you guys, because you're all going, man, I'm so busy, I can't do anything else. Get those that acronym there first, right? And this is, by the way, I'm looking at the context of first of Israel. But RSMMS, right? First one is reading, studying, meditating, memorizing. And what's the S? What's that mean? Anybody know? Sharing, right? We got to share with each other too, right? And by the way, notice this context is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And the question I want to ask you today is, do you think Joshua was a busy person? And of course, we probably say, yeah, he's like, imagine he took over from Moses, who had done an incredible job of leading Israel. He had his struggles, but Joshua was handpicked by God to pick up the ball. Busy guy, right? And by the way, this is the words that God gives to him. So the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it that day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Psalm 1 just picks up that same idea, right? It just says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Notice that same idea. In his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its season, fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. So this is what the word of God does. When I engage in scripture in these various ways, right? Reading it, studying it, meditating on it, memorizing it, and sharing it. These are the things that we need to do. And I appreciate Cindy just chatted in. He didn't even have a Bible. So he had to do, like, he had to be memorizing the words that he heard from others, but he was able to do that and think about that. Now about you, sometimes I'm like real tired late at night. Maybe I'm studying or reading, and I'll go to bed and I'll just kind of lay there and kind of think about what I just read and kind of put it together in my mind and wrestle with it and even talk to God about it. So there's something that we can all try and we can all do. But engaging with scripture is so important and so helpful. Dow, slide down. That's from the Old Testament perspective from Israel. What about Jesus? Look what Jesus said. He said this about the word of God. It says, when Jesus was led up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. And y'all have been there. You've been starving, and the only thing you think about is what you're going to eat or what you're going to have next. It says, and when the tempter, who's Satan, came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, make these stones become bread. And you know, just imagine if you were Jesus and you're hungry, he could just whip up a sandwich or make up something, you know, with the click of his fingers. But Jesus answered, look what he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's such a key thing. By the way, in Matthew 5, he picks it up. He says in Matthew 5, not only are we going to live on the word of God, but he says that Jesus didn't come to sort of cancel out the word of God in the Old Testament scriptures. He came to fulfill them. You know, at 24:35, Jesus again brings up that same issue. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this. It says, you abide in my word, you're my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the word of God gives us this foundation to rest on, and we know that, but the challenge for us is we have to say, you know what, I got to put myself in a place where God's word can speak to my heart. And I could use any one of those things. If you're real, real busy, maybe you're not going to study in depth the passage, but we could certainly read it. We could meditate on a short verse. You know, we could memorize it, and we could certainly share things that really encourage us and probably be an encouragement to others as well. Dial, take me to the next one if you want. How about us as believers? You know, the word of God, you know, we have some great passages, sort of the Awana passage, right? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, as we study God's word, we begin to understand and have this vantage point of truth and perspective. And then he says in 2 Timothy 3, and we know that passage so well, you know, he talks about it to Timothy. And he talks about the fact that the scriptures could bring them to salvation. And also he said, you know, they're given, they're God-breathed out, inspired, and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And check this out. This is our word for the year, right? That the man of God or the woman of God or the child of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the only way we're going to be equipped is to know what God wants us to look like and act like and be like and think. We need that equipping, and that's what the word of God does for us. You know, all the way back to the Old Testament, Moses and Joshua, the psalmist, up to Jesus himself, just thinking about the word of God was literally like his bread that he lived on. And then as we take it to us as New Testament disciples, you know, it's what equips us to live life. The word of God is so critical. So we want to go down to the next thing. How about this? What about prayer? Practicing prayer. And check this out. I found this passage that was so good in Deuteronomy chapter 4 on the idea of prayer. We think about it in the context again of Israel in the Old Testament sense. It says, therefore, be careful to observe them. This is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So the context is that the nation of Israel is wise and understanding because they knew and obeyed God's word. But look what he says about God. He says, well, when we pray, he says, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And when you stop and think about that for a second, what you're trying to say is when we are crying out to God, when we are praying to God, you know what? God is very, very near to us. And he's the God of the entire universe. Look at Psalm 145, kind of gives us that same idea. It says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. You know, God is close to us when we are praying and we are crying out to him. And again, that's something that we need to better practice. A lot of us, you know, I use that phrase I said before about being a repairman. We're trying to do all these things so much that we try to do them in our own strength and our own power, and we so much need God to help us instead. So real challenge there as we stop and we think about those things. So I just want to encourage you there, thinking about this practice of prayer. Dow, take us to the next thing. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before day, this is Jesus, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. In Mark chapter 6, it says, and when Jesus had sent them away, the disciples, he departed to the mountain to pray. And before Jesus was even choosing disciples, in Luke 6, it says, now he came in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. as little Christ, do we model Jesus in that same way? You know, this idea of practicing prayer. He's practicing prayer because he's tired. He's been doing miracles all night long. He's been doing all these things, yet he extracts himself from the fray to get that spiritual focus and that connection to God. And that's so, so important for us to do that. It says, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. You know, again, he's with the disciples, he's teaching, he's doing all the right things. But here's a challenge for all of us. We can't do all the right things unless we've been with the Lord who instructs us how to do that, gives us the peace, gives us the rest, gives us perspective to continue the work. And you see that again in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Jesus is about to make a giant decision. And what does he do? He departs to a solitary place. There's that idea of solitude to go and to pray. You know, and I just want to encourage us that, you know, as we practice this core discipline, we see the Lord doing that and the nation of Israel doing that, especially its leaders. Go on down, Dow, if you would, to the next part. Look about us, this idea of prayer. Look what he says. He says, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray and not to lose heart. That's Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And I'll throw this out. In this past couple of years, all of us have been just wrestling and struggling with everything that's going on. And one of the things we probably haven't done enough of is pray. You know, we watch the news, you know, we've been to the drugstore, we've talked to everybody and their brother about the pandemic. We've tried to do all these things. And some of those things are very needful, but we haven't spent a whole lot of time anchoring our lives in talking to the Father. And I love the King James translation of that verse. King James says this, it says, men ought to always pray and not faint. And I think we do a lot of fainting because we don't do a lot of praying. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. And again, that's kind of the point. God wants us to ask him and God will deliver when we need wisdom. And Lord knows we need wisdom so much in this day. And then again, as James kind of speaks to this as New Testament disciples, the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that's what we need to clearly embrace, that we can't live without that connection to God that prayer gives us. So I'm going to slide down. And I love, someone just wrote in, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And I hope that's true in our house. You know, if we go to this last part that I want you guys to kind of focus on and think about this morning very quickly is this, how about corporate worship? You know, corporate worship is sort of this battleground. You know, there's actually a book, it was written by Warren Wiersbe. He said worship, he called it battleground or holy ground. That was sort of the subtitle of the book. And worship is such an important thing. And as we gather together to worship is where, again, God puts us in a place that he can change us. And I want you guys to focus in on these concepts real quick as you stop and think about this passage, and we'll look at it in a minute. But the idea of corporate worship means we got to humble ourselves. We got to admit that we don't have it all figured out. You know, we come and we may not like everything that we see there. We may not like styles. We may not want this or want that. But when we get together for corporate worship, real corporate godly worship, we put all that aside and say, you know, I'm coming to meet God with my brothers and my sisters. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to hear him. I'm going to give to them. I'm going to receive from them. And the whole body is going to be built up. That's sort of the goal that we are focusing on here. And I want to encourage you guys, that's where God wants us to be. Humbling ourselves, praising him, by the way, giving to others, receiving from others. And so much that we talk about when it comes to corporate worship, people say things like, oh, I didn't really get anything out of it. Well, really the goal was maybe that you're supposed to come and put something into it so we could all get something out of it. No, the givers aren't just the people on the stage, but the givers are everyone who comes and gathers so they can give to each other. And then we all should come at the same time with a humble heart, willing to receive from others, no matter what their station in life is, they may have something that's really relevant that's going to speak to us when they talk to us. So again, there's that giving and receiving from others and that humility and that just praising the God. That's what God's looking for us to do. And just imagine, I just so appreciate you guys. You know, we've gone through so many different things inside, outside. on Zoom, in church, out of church, all the things that we've gone through the last couple of years. But this core group of us, God has fed us. God has used voices way beyond mine to speak to each of us, to grow us, to change us, to make us the body of Christ the way he wants us to be. It's a core discipline, so important, whether we're digital or we're face-to-face, we need each other because that's where God's going to work in that setting. And that's what he's talking about here. I love what he said about these early disciples in Acts chapter 2. Look what he said. He says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers." And by the way, notice what happened when they all got together and they did those things, the word of God and prayer and fellowship, you know, and sharing the Lord's table, remembering who they were in Christ. It says, "Fear came upon every one of them, and many signs and wonders were done through the disciples. And all who believed had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them all as everyone had need." And I'm going to throw this out. That isn't human experience. Because humanly, I want to hang on to my stuff with my white knuckle grip. You know what? But you know what? When God works in my heart, he changes me so much in the context of the body of Christ and the word and prayer that even I can let go of my stuff and give it to everybody who has need, and not worry about how I'm going to get it again because I know God can supply. That is the work of God. That is the power of God that happens in the community of the body of Christ. And that's why that's such a key spiritual discipline. Prayer, the word, and God's people gather. What power happens there? And look what he says. And you see again the power continuing. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And the idea was singleness of purpose. And the word says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Can you imagine if we do this, that God's going to look at our community of First Baptist Church and our people and just say, man, what a blessing. I want to know their God. I want to see him change us. I want to be part of that. And instead of being, you know, the adversaries that we see Christianity being in the world today, we become this force that changes people, that is a magnet, that's attractive. That's what God is looking for. And that's what happens when we practice these disciplines. We'll go down to the, I think it's the next to last slide there now. And, you know, Hebrews 10, right, just kind of exhorts us. And that's the idea of just persuading us and encouraging us. This is what y'all need to do, right? Participate. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." The idea of consider is let's look a long time on each other, think about each other, and stir up this love and good works. And look what it says, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another." The word there is, comes from the word, we get the word, the Holy Spirit, parakletos, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So I don't know about you guys, but we're seeing the day approach. So we better get together and keep encouraging each other because it is a tough journey right now. So we're going to go to, what in the world are we going to do with all that? So Dial, take us to the next slide. So here we go. How do we implement these core spiritual disciplines? And I want to step back. Some of you guys are going like, man, I can't do any more things in my life. My time is consumed. I feel guilty. I'm overwhelmed. That is not the place here. What I want you to think about is this. Is there some of these spiritual disciplines that you're struggling to practice? And if so, we're going to work together over these next several weeks. In fact, the last week of this month, I'm going to ask a bunch of people, not just me, to share with you how they implement these spiritual disciplines and how they work and how they're effective in their life. So I want to just ask this question today. All of you guys, who's having a struggle engaging with scripture? And remember, we talked about it. What's that look like? Reading, studying, meditating, memorizing, and what? Sharing. Where do you do good with that? Where do you wrestle with that? How can we make that more part of your life? And by the way, there's all kinds of tools. I could give you all kinds of booklets and books, and we'll be doing that. But ultimately, we all got to put some time into that, and we got to find a way to carve out that time or some way to do that. So that's what the question is. Where are you struggling with that? Second one is this, how about practicing prayer? Again, maybe we're so busy, we get up the moment the alarm clock goes off, we're in running mode until we put our head back down on the pillow and we go to sleep again. How do I practice prayer better? How can I do that? You know, do I do it in my car? Do I do it, you know, in the bathroom? Where do I do it? Someone was sharing me, they said that that's the place they hide, in the bathroom. That's a good spot. And there's many Christians from the past. It was the mother of the Wesleys. I think they had like 8 or 9 siblings. She would literally, the story goes, is she would take her apron and pull it over her head no matter what was going on, and she would spend a moment with God. So what do we have to do? And some of us, you know, may wrestle with that. And how about corporate worship? Is corporate worship a priority? You know, for all of us, you know, we struggle, the week is busy, we want to sleep, we got this going on and that going on. And by the way, there's always time, a break, a vacation, those are all good, but corporate worship is just such a powerful discipline along with prayer and scripture to get us to be where God wants us to be. And they say sometimes, maybe I'm preaching to the choir, as they say, because you guys are all online, even in this crazy mode of doing worship now. But I just want to encourage you, let's make that a priority where we get together. And by the way, not just when we're here for a service on Zoom, but let's call each other, let's visit each other. Even if you got to stand outside, do something so we keep the body together. I know that's been a struggle over these last several months and years, but let's keep working on that. So my question for you today, and we don't have to solve all these issues, is let's just be real and say, where are we struggling? And then think about, as we go forward, some strategies to move ahead to fix this. You know, and Cindy shared this with me this week. You know, maybe you could even, you know, read the book of John, read one chapter, you know, be it a day, one chapter a week. That'd be a way to kind of get into God's word. There's a number of different reading plans. Daily Bread, by the way, has several of them on their online application, ourdailybread.org. And that, by the way, is on our website at church, and you can just download that app as well. There's a number, the Bible app has a number of different reading plans that might interest you or touch an area where you're wrestling. Maybe it's over grief, relationships. There's a number of different things out there. We're trying to get you into that. Daily Audio Bible, Greg Collins just sent in so many good things. And we're going to kind of pull all that together because the body knows so much together. We want to share that with you. And we're going to work on that. And by the way, our prayer meeting is the best attended and has it ever been in the last 4 or 5 years since we've been online. We encourage you to join us on Tuesday nights. We do it in about an hour. You can pop in, pop out if you're doing something, but it's a great chance to be part of that. And we just keep looking forward to sharing with you in worship. So I'm just going to pray. God knows your heart. Just be open and honest and humble before him. And let's try to work on these things. And I don't want you to feel overwhelmed or guilty, but let's just know God wants us to be better at this, and it's going to make us closer to him and really allow his power to work in our lives. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thanks for the day. Thanks for your word and its power. Father, there's just so much that can be said about these things, but dear God, use these tools that you've given us in our lives to make us more like Christ, to make us who we need to be in the days ahead. And Lord, we look forward to the great things that you're going to do. Thank you so, so much. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.